Welcome back to the Bible Study Girl podcast. My name is Sarita. And the first hello you were able to hear on this podcast was, I'm talking really slowly, was the executive producer of the podcast, Bible Study Brother.
It is I, Bible Study Brother, but I am also known as Icarus Gray over at Gray Area Anime. The most wonderful podcast of your day is this one right here that we're doing right now. But I also say that on all my podcasts, so, you know, no favoritisms or anything around here.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. I added it. Like, it was a little, like, immediately, like, when I resumed. It's going to be everywhere because that person is going to go everywhere with me.
Fantastic, brother. I hope you guys have enjoyed the break that you had from our boundary series. I know I thoroughly enjoyed it. You've listened to the foolishness of Bible Study Brother and I talking with our mom, Bible Study Mama, and it probably will give you a better insight into why we are who we are. And I think it blends perfectly with us jumping back into the boundary series. If you have not been following along and this is your first time listening, we are reading through the book Boundaries. It was written by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. And it really is an in-depth look at creating boundaries because they're healthy, they're needed. They create the opportunity for you to function in a less hectic environment. They really, really do. And so we've been reading through the book together. We took our little break, but we are jumping off part two. Like I said, all that time we spent with our mom in the previous podcast, it really is a perfect precursor to the chapter that we're talking about today. We are on chapter 7, and chapter 7 is all about boundaries in your family. So I will let you guys know that this portion of the book that we're going into, part two, it discusses different boundary issues with you and the different relationships you have in your life. So each week we'll be hitting on different dynamics and, like I said, in different relationships and how to handle boundaries in different circumstances and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. I also want to put this disclaimer out there. We are not experts, psychologists, therapists, none of that. We are really and truly just going through this book with you in an attempt to be as transparent as possible to help ourselves, but to also to share the experience with you to help you. Some people will never pick up the book, but hopefully our discussions cause you to examine what healthy boundaries look like in your life and the things that you can do to make your life better. Because ultimately, for me, the goal is healthy and whole. What do you want to say, brother?
Nothing. That first healthy was a struggle for you because you were like, healthy.
Healthy.
No. You got it after that. That first one was funny, bro. I ain't going to hold you.
Struggle bus. Hilarious. It's been a long week. Lots of stuff going on. So, before we get started, brother, we briefly discussed before we started recording, what were your overall feelings about chapter 7?
I was wading in the water of, whoo, man, do you see yourself? Do you see the other instances of where this has become a problem, where you've done this a lot? Where this has definitely been your life story, how do you plan to change that? How do you plan to move forward? So it's a lot of looking at myself and actionable things while also recognizing that I'm not crazy.
You're not crazy. And also, I think for me, going through the book, it's like I have a tendency to be a perfectionist and I want to do it right and I want it to look this way or be this way. And I think for me, what reading the chapter just brings to the surface is that you won't ever be perfect, but you can operate in a better way, in a healthier way. So I think the best question for us to start off with, See, I said healthier, and I did a good job that time.
You only messed up once, ma'am.
So I think the perfect question for us to start off with is that we can each, so the chapter lists specific boundary issues that can exist in a family, right? It is not an all-inclusive list. Your family could have any number of boundary problems that are not listed in the book, but there are a great number of boundary issues that they discuss in detail and give specific examples. So the first question I want us both to answer is to name a specific boundary listed in the chapter that we struggle with and or need to implement. I'm going to tell you one of the boundary problems that I have. The chapter talks a lot about your family of origin, but this boundary for me existed outside of my family of origin. Like it's in my family of origin, but it's like outside of my family of origin as well, like extended family as well. It is something that permeates the culture of my family and who my family is. And my brother's like, which issue could you be
Yeah,
talking? I'm you like get to the meat. Okay, so the title they use for it is Three's a Crowd, and it discusses triangulation. And it breaks triangulation down. It tells you what triangulation is. And this is, I will tell you now that triangulation was a big part of my relationship with my cousin Tamika. We were the triangulation queens, and I'm going to explain what triangulation is to you. But I also do it in my family of origin because there's my mom, my brother, and myself. We're a perfect triangle. And it is so easy to get caught in this cycle.
The amount of dog, I know y'all A and C. I know y'all A
Let
and
me
C. But like
explain
go ahead.
it to the people that don't know what triangulation is. Okay. So there are three people in the triangle. There's person A, there's person B, and then there's person C, right? So person A has an issue with person B, right? But they don't go tell person B. They go straight to person C. And so person A and C are talking about person B, right? Just talking about it, all your problems. But person A never goes to person B. I'm just gonna tell person C why this person gets on my nerves. But then when person B is around person A, you act regular, like there's no problem, like you have no cares and concerns. So quite often my cousin Tamika and I will be person A and C, and whoever in the family was person B, like would be on our nerves, and we'll be like, girl, let me tell you what person B did, and this is why person B, blah blah blah. So
Just trash.
that is definitely a boundary issue, and it's something that, like I said, permeates outside of my family of origin, outside of my mama Joe me triangle, but just like that has been my go-to. And the reason it's a problem is because, we all Christians, we say we love the Lord. Well, maybe you're not all Christians, but I'm a Christian. I say I love the Lord. The Bible is clear. If you have a problem with person B, you go to person B. You don't go to C. You don't skip over B. Can you get wise counsel from other people about your issues? Absolutely. But that's not what I was doing. And that wasn't my lean to or my go to. And part of that, is like, sometimes person B has a history of repeated behavior. So it's like, I ain't gonna say nothing to person B because this is how they always do. But let me tell you, because they done got on my nerves. And so it creates an unhealthy relationship. It creates an unhealthy dynamic. There is nothing really positive that you get out of that because you don't get resolution. And so that is one of the things that I think I struggle with the most, that triangulation, because oftentimes two person C, it's kind of like I don't even want to say put in the middle, but it's just it's a weird spot and position to be in. And like I said, no, none of your issues really get resolved. So that was mine. Brother, what's one issue that you feel like, ooh, this is it?
I got to think about it for a lot, and it was when it was later in the chapter when he got talking about like leaving and cleaving, and how you'll go to your family of origin, and then you bring back like all of these bad habits,
right?
Because you just, and I immediately thought about us. I immediately thought about the beginnings of marriage or any relationship. Like if something is annoying me. And I've like exhausted myself in trying to talk with the person, because I do try to A and B sometimes. And it, because this is also a part of, it's not a part of triangulation, but it's a different thing. But anyway, so I go, I come, I talk to you about something, and then instead of being calm when I go back, I'm bringing back the fire and brimstone of everything in me, and that wasn't what I was supposed to bring back. I'm supposed to bring back love, or like you said, wise counsel is good, but being caught in a triangulation, or at least like bringing back stuff that you should have deaded in your origin back, right, ain't what I was supposed to be doing. And that was a big hefty one for me. You know, it wasn't until everything that happened in getting married that I even started to understand that I ain't perfect at it. I am definitely not perfect at it, but I couldn't understand it until I got away from it to actually start seeing a lot of different things. But that's mine, because bruh, it's really hard, because like you said, when they're talking about like you go back to your past and your habits, and that's easy.
It's easy. It is so easy. You know, we talked about it in part one. You can read this book and see so many things that you need to change, you know, and it's difficult to change.
Yeah,
it is. I am a witness. Dog. It is difficult to change. Is it possible? Yes. But you do have to be really focused and intentional. And it's so easy to go back into our old habits, what feels comfortable and what feels good to us. Look at my face right now, plumping back up, because my old habit is to eat food when I feel
stressed,
whatever. Yeah. You know, like it's a comfort to me.
So, there was another one in there, but that was the one that I think the most about, is because I keep going back to a past version of myself because it's easier. Not so much in terms of how it makes me feel, but I think that was the other one that they were talking about, is like the comparison. I forget which one it was, but where you like you'll be around your family and you kind of hear stuff, and then it makes you feel bad about where you are,
right?
And so I know that was a thing for me a lot. Because when you have, you know, it used to make me more proud to have you as my sister. And then I just felt like, dang, at some point it shifted to.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because, you are the most amazing thing since sliced bread for me. And I was like.
I mean, you do pump me up, but I'm just a regular person.
But okay. I'm going to have to send you the same sermon I sent to our mother. And hopefully it'll bless you the way it blessed me, because I'm not going to keep letting you do that. But I do understand more so what you mean. And like the way I pumped it up was just like, you know, well, these things are just easy. You know, and I tell you this all the time. It's not until we talk about it and I'm like, oh, you had a struggle with whatever.
We definitely have had to have some real discussions like about, okay, yeah. This, and this, but this is not easy. But this is a choice I have to continue to make to do this, and this. Like, it might look cute on the outside, but I have had to like pull back the curtain and say, okay, so this is how this happened. You know, like it took this. So I get that.
Yeah, and so that was another one. But yeah, like, so not to get too, because we can go into another question, but because I'm sure we'll double back to one of these in one of those questions.
Okay, so what guides the decisions you make when we talk about family and boundaries? What guides the decisions that you make? Do you choose your decisions out of love or out of guilt when it comes to your family?
It depends on the person.
Okay.
If it's my wife, love. If it's you or mama, guilt. There can be love in there in terms of some of the decisions, but majority of the time it's like, okay, well, I am the least thereof in this trinity. I gotta do it. I gotta be better. I gotta do stronger or do more, or I gotta, you know.
So what do you think it would make you, what kind of shifts do you think would need to happen for you to be making whatever decisions you're making in regards to our family to shift that from guilt to a love, like doing this, making this decision out of love?
Just remembering that the things I did in love is all like the things that I do in love are way far reaching and are more important than what I'm giving them credit for. It's not just monetary, like it's just changing a mindset. It's not just monetary things that are of value in terms of what I'm doing. And if that's, and I don't think that that's the perception, but if it is, that's not my responsibility to take care of, because I know that I'm doing it in love anyway. So
do you think a lot of your issues with our family of origin have to do with like what you financially contribute?
That and, you know, education and purpose. I mean, like, for, you know, no matter what it is, financially, the level that y'all are at is way higher than mine and has always been the case. So that and like going to school, finishing school, doing all of these different things, instead of always lowering my contributions to that, like valuing the things that I do more and knowing that they are valued.
Got it. I can understand that. I can definitely see that perspective. Do you feel like I'm trying?
Yeah.
Is that something that you feel like we have expressed to you, or that's just an internal?
It's certain things to be said, you know, if it's like certain things that are not necessarily said to others, you know, so like if you make, when you're making like certain financial choices, you know, there might be like a slight joke, but when it's me, it's like, well, did you, and you know, you gotta, and it's like, so prime example is me getting my car.
Mm-hmm.
Was like the most, I don't think you can do this because you ain't showing me nothing example of ever. And it's just like, so now I'm terrified and thinking, oh, I'm going to fail. I have to fail. And then, you know, like if it wasn't for the necessity and guy kind of pushing me through, like I ain't missing no payments. I don't miss payments on much of anything and have never. But the perception of irresponsibility and things of that nature over me in regards to certain things, like in terms of how things can be said. So, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the I don't mean no harm aspect of how we can be spoken to sometimes. Okay. And so that was more so it because it'll be like that. It'll be funny enough is our bougie conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But like a lot of times that hits me in my heart. Oh, it real, real cut, because it feels like you be doing the most. And it's not like, you know, we eat or doing these things out of love. It's like, you really be, you know what I'm saying? You be stepping outside of yourself. You don't really be in line, is what it feels like. And I'm like, okay, well, it's always going to be cheaper if you're a person who you don't eat the same thing. Like, you'll eat this, but yours is going to be like this. And then the other one follows you mostly because what she needs, she ain't really eating that stuff. And so me, a carnivore, a regular omnivore.
I was going to say, I eat meat.
Or an omnivore, like all the things, an olivore. you know, it's just different. And so, like I said, instead of being made to feel bad about that, like I said, I'd just be like, dang, you know, It's one of those, because matter of fact, I was joking with Kanae about this the other day. Joking, more so feeling hurt. I was like, you know, that's why I would always be like, whenever we would go somewhere, I'm like thinking you on the same page as me. Don't pick nothing crazy because I don't want that to be the thought about me. Right. Like, and then I don't want people thinking that that's you, that you just over here trying to take advantage of people and spend all their money and, you know, like, so it hits pretty hard.
I think this next question ties in perfectly with what we're discussing. So have you really become an adult in relation to your family of origin? And if so, can you give a specific example of your adult behavior? If not, I want you to name some situations in which you don't feel like you acted or were treated like an adult. And I think that perfectly ties into our conversation. I think, okay, so there's a section in the book that talks about how you can be an adult, but you're not fully functioning as an adult. And I think I function more as like an adolescent adult. Like, I'm almost there, but I'm not quite. I will say this. I think I function more as an adolescent adult in the past, meaning we've been talking about the fact that I'm on a financial journey to make sound financial decisions. I was behaving like an adolescent adult because I was living my best life, didn't have savings, was not saving for retirement, you know, was not really prepared for the future, just focused on what I can do here and now, right? I can pay my bills, I'm straight. And so within the last year, I am transitioning more into a fully functioning adult that is concerned about the future and what that looks like and the things that I need to do to get there, to be more intentional with my finances, with my planning. And so that is a way that I have specifically become more adult. And I think it has, it has not been an easy ride, right? And I've shared this in a previous podcast. Like, so not only do I have to set those boundaries with my family of origin, but I have to set those boundaries with my extended family. Everybody is used to me functioning as an adolescent adult. They didn't know that's how I was functioning, you know, just she got it, you know. But it took me being like, nah, for real, like, this ain't what the Lord wants of you. You have to be a good steward. And you have to be a good steward. And that has been a difficult transition for me. It has been, but I honestly, I think it has been pivotal. I think it has been very helpful. But that is definitely a circumstance when I had to step out of what's comfortable and familiar with for my family and with my family and really decide how are you going to live your life? What's the healthiest way to live your life? And I have shared quite frequently on this podcast, it's not fun for me. When I make those decisions, and I also was talking to my therapist about it, my last appointment, it's not fun for me when I have to make these decisions and make these choices that go against my nature and how I've been functioning. It is difficult, but he reminded me that the important thing is no matter how it feels, I'm making the decisions. I am being intentional. I have the right to say, I don't like it. I have the right to say it's uncomfortable. But all of that is part of being an adult. So I think in that way, I have very much grown and learned what it takes to shift from the unhealthy boundaries that I've established in my family of origin and my extended family as well. Like I said, I don't always get it. I don't always hit the mark or do the thing that I'm supposed to do, but I'm in progress and I am doing the best I can to be a fully functioning adult, not an adolescent adult, but a fully functioning adult.
I think you're doing great. And so, to piggyback off of you, you're doing so great that you're even helping me continue to do so. So I think when we're talking about like pivotal moments with the question, moving up here, getting married, all of those things were like huge, like adult moments, because it was like, no, I can't do this. Now, granted, at that point in time, setting that boundary cut me off from some certain things, but I needed to be. Because it was like, hey, you know, if that's what you want to do, da-da-da-da-da, go. And so I even think, like, now when I'm having those moments where I've maybe done something financially irresponsible, and I'm like, dog, I really just want to, you know, and I'd be about to ask. And sometimes it does hurt my feelings, but I do appreciate this, because I'd be like, I really want to ask. And before I even ask, you just know. And it don't even be, you know, it's not me asking.
It's not me asking you.
I'm about to ask that person and you saying no for them, but you saying, but it also, because you know the full scope of everything. And I just be like, yeah, she right. I gotta figure it out. You know, gotta do it. I can do it. Like, it's not a.
I was gonna ask you, do I like, do you be, I don't, you ain't ask me for nothing. Like,
no. And I'll just be like, but if you, I was like, well, she speak for them, so I'm gonna let her speak for them. You know, because then when I go and ask it, because you speaking for both of us in that way, it be no for them as well. Or they don't do the same things that they used to, which they shouldn't, in terms of like, hey, you want to da 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 da, and it's like, mm. And then, like I said, you already said no, and both of us heard it, so it's no.
So you feel like I'm influencing?
Oh, 100%. I know that you are. Now, I think it would still be a no. I'm not saying that it wouldn't be, but I also know you do have that level of influence, is what I'm saying. So I'm not saying like you're moving the decision, but you are definitely affirming it.
Okay. But I will say, like, so I'm going to keep it 100, you know. Because we are such an enmeshed family, and that's not a great thing. Mm-hmm. Because we are such an enmeshed family, I used to know a lot more about the things that y'all had going on. Mm-hmm. But as I started to set more clear boundaries for myself, like, I don't need to hear that. I don't want to know, you know, leave me out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't be knowing stuff like at all, and I feel like you know that, because I remember we had a conversation and you was like, did mama tell you? Well, I'm like, nah, she ain't.
Yeah. But you know, it's one of those, like, whew, when you kind of just gotta sit in, you know, like, say you didn't have good stewardship or whatever. Like, I've definitely always hated that. That's one of those, like, I'm glad that I'm learning more and preparing myself about getting to new financial places, because I know certain things that I would do that, again, you would not. Are hypothetical, to be fair, is like, mm-hmm. in my mind, and the hypothetical was, y'all, it's just if you won the lottery and got a certain amount of money, one of the simple ones.
Yeah, it was I told this story before, but we were in a Chinese restaurant, and the question was, if you won a lottery, like, what would you do with your money? And it became a battle royale, but go ahead.
But the reason being is because, like, in my mind, like I was telling you earlier, for me, that would be like a confirmation moment of, like, now I can do the things that were done for me. Mm-hmm. And then nobody asked. I didn't make when nobody making me jump through hoops, when nobody making me do this. Also, I want this person to be able to do, you know, live abundantly or whatever. So because of how much they've given to me, how much I've appreciated, big, small, left, right. And maybe this will make me be on that level, mm-hmm. versus, like I said, how I felt on the other end. It was like, you ain't on this level. You really need to do this before I ever do that, because I feel like I would just be enabling something. And it's like, oh, okay. All right. I didn't know I needed to see myself that way or whatever the case may be. So, but yeah.
How long ago was that?
2008 or 9.
15 years ago.
Yeah, maybe 7. Because, no, it's probably 8. Because it would have been, probably accurately 2009. Because I think it would have been after my Patriot passed.
That's what I was trying to figure out, if it was before or after she passed. It probably was after.
I'm pretty sure it was after, and I know it was before I got my car.
Yeah, probably was after. So, yeah, isn't it crazy how 15 years later...
Well, it's like I said, it wasn't the...
Because the issue wasn't the issue. The issue wasn't winning the lottery.
Yeah,
the
that's what I was like, yeah.
This is what you think of me.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. That was the issue.
Yeah. And that's why I say, like, hypotheticals are never about, it's about how you think. It's for me, at least. Like, for other people, it's like a fun little, oh, that's cool, you know, like, because you're thinking of the fact that the hypothetical itself is fake. Like, how you think in this moment about what you would do in this situation, that is real, and that is predicated on what you think of somebody or what you think of yourself, where you are in that particular space and time. So that's normally what I analyze with hypotheticals.
I knew it was going to be a long discussion today. I'm going to ask this last question and then we're going to close it out.
Okay.
I think this question kind of ties into what we're talking about. What did your family of origin teach you about resolving conflict and dealing with your anger?
Your anger is not real. If I don't agree with you, it's not real. And don't matter what you say, I need proof. I need you to tell me everything. I need you to tell me the date. I need you to tell me this, because outside of that, your feelings in this moment don't exist, don't matter. I don't care. Now get over it, and then tomorrow we'll go and do something, and like we'll act like it never happened, and we'll just kind of move on from it. And you'll be all right. You'll get over it. And we move on. And it's like, even if I'm not like over it, I just have to fall in defeat and move on.
I think my family taught me, it's not even just our core family. I think this is true of our extended family. We don't really talk about the hard stuff. It just comes to a boil at a certain point, and then everybody's over it. Even though they're not really over it.
No.
You know, it's just something that's just, it's just forever there. I do remember being, I was a very demonstrative child. If I was upset, I was upset. If I was angry, I was angry. And one of the ways that I put a exclamation point on the end of my sentences when I was really ticked is I would slam my bedroom door to let you know in the end, you know, of my sentence. Well,
which is why
I did not have a bedroom door. Duh. Like, and that was the
end. And I had
end
no
of-
clue. I just thought we was Poe. Or that's how the house was set up is what I thought.
No. I didn't have a door because I didn't know how to act right. And another solution was to have me write, like, when you get that mad, when you get that angry, you know, here go you a journal. You can sit down. You can write whatever you want to write. I don't care. You know, you're not going to be walking around here stomping and slamming doors. Like, this is what you need to do. I found it to be helpful for me. It was a good coping mechanism and a good coping tool, but still never got to the root and the core of a lot of issues with conflict. And so that is something that I've carried into my adulthood. And I would say I'm doing better with I'm doing better with addressing conflicts head on. Am I perfect? No, not at all. Because a lot of times I fall into my triangulation trap and I want to talk about C. You know, I want to talk about person B to person C. But literally just yesterday, like I had been, so this was not somebody I was related to, but I continue to tell this person, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like when you do this. I don't like it, right? And so I'm having a conversation with them and they were like, you know how you always like to tease me about how you don't like it when blah, blah, blah. And I finally was like, listen, I'm not joking. I'm not teasing. I don't like this. And if you cannot stop, I can't talk to you because I don't like it. Old me would have not done that. But as I'm working to do better and be better and create healthier spaces for myself, I'm learning to advocate for myself, to speak up if I do have a conflict and not just talk about you. Now, did I go talk about that person? Yes, after it was done. But I had to tell you 2 minutes. But that was an improvement because I had very clear communication with person B. This is not it.
Yeah. And you're getting better with that because I think I be trying to do the same thing. And I've been trying to get better at not like exploding. I wish some of these lovely tools would have been given to me instead of just looking at me and or smiling and like or ignoring me, which was like, oh God, I'm like literally about to like die in my anger because like I'm just about to boil. Like I'm about to get so hot, like my skin boils. And I'm glad I did so because it used to be so bad I would get this little, I guess, I don't think they call them an aneurysm vein, but the little vein on the side of my head or whatever. I still remember that. Like, I'm glad that that's not there because I know I would have self-destructed at some point and just like, oh no, this is it. But
My thing too is this is not a bashing of your family. This is identifying the problems and figuring out how you can change, how you can do something different. And he's very explicit in the chapter, or they're very explicit in the chapter in explaining like, okay, so this is a new tool. This is a new skill you've learned that you need to work on. Do not go in with a sledgehammer, knocking the family down and tearing them apart. This is, you do it in steps and in small spaces. You don't go, you know, knocking everybody out. And this is what the book said. No, that's not the point. The point is to identify the problem and figure out ways that you can start to improve the boundaries that you have within your family. And I know our family is not unique. Every family has problems. There's a ton of boundary issues in the book. You know, we just highlighted a few of them and a few things that arose for us. Go ahead.
Big thing, identify your help. Because a big thing that they talk about in terms of changing your habits is, again, why you can't expect to clear everything out in the first day, but you also have to know your weaknesses and what you are susceptible to, and don't just go back into the trap house or whatever it is for you, because you're gonna fail because you're not properly equipping yourself with, you know, accountability partners and people who are trying to pull you to that new version of you. You can't fix it all in one day.
And like you said, I think it helps to have accountability partners. One thing I love, and I always say this, but I love things that are practical. I like next steps. What can I do? You identify all of these issues that I have. So now how can I fix it? Number one, I think prayer is always in order. I don't think you're ever out of order if you take the time to pray and ask God to give you exactly specifically what you need and what your family needs. I also think it's important to realize that just because you've read the book and you are committed to it doesn't mean your family members have read the book and will be committed to it. My brother, this is his first walk through the book, but I think he can tell you that he noticed a change in me that helped.
Yeah, it makes more sense about a lot of the different changes and things that you made. It also helped me to, like I said, not be so condemning on myself, because I have made a lot of changes previous to the book about boundaries or leading things with love. We talk about how I responded during your time of need versus whatever. It's like, and but I wanted to and needed to do that, because I needed you to know that there is love always here versus trying to chastise you for when I didn't necessarily feel that, because right. That's not what I'm wanting to do. I need you to know not only that I love you, but that I'm capable of standing in that love and giving you that assistance that you need, because you need it and I'm going to give it to you.
But let me also say this. When you change, and I've spoken about this before, when you change the way you operate, and this is how your family has always operated, mm-hmm. chances are they're not going to receive that as a loving act, because that is not how we operate. And you are changing the rules and you are changing the game. So even if my actions aren't perceived as love, they are. It's love for myself and love for you. And this is a healthier way for us to function. So I would keep that in mind, and that you operate in love when you do this, and you just keep your focus on the main thing. And that is to be a healthier person, to be able to have healthier relationships with less stress. Because I will tell you, going through the common boundary issues that exist in families, even if you can eliminate two boundary issues in your family, I know it has the power to shift and change the way your family operates. So definitely be prayerful. Like I said, just pick one or two or one thing that you want to focus on and have an action plan in place. Don't try to take it all at one time. Don't try to tackle it all in one time. You're going to get overwhelmed. Even with the one, it can be overwhelming, but it's possible.
And, you know, the most encouraging thing about it is don't fall into, and this is something they talked about in chapter 6, maybe 5. Don't fall into the fact that when you do something in love, sometimes it hurts.
Yeah.
And if you did something actually in love and somebody happened to be hurt, they'll be fine.
Right.
Like, you're not trying, you didn't do it with malice. If you did it with malice, that's something that you need to adjust and change. But the boundary road is not one that's going to be easy, because you are setting lines. You are, in the same way that when we declare lines about our faith and things of that nature, you are setting clear lines, and the enemy don't like that, because it means you're going to be healthy. So
right. But I'm done, bro. I'm exhausted.
So we would appreciate it if you hit down those socials that are in the description, link up with us on all the different social medias. If you want to be a guest or get prayer, make sure you go to the Bible Study Girl Facebook page or use our email, BibleStudyGirl2019@gmail.com. And remember, guys, we also have a YouTube that's down in the description. We need subscribers. Content is coming. We've worked some things out. And I'm really happy for the content that I'm going to be able to provide for the channel and all that other stuff. So remember, it's not I preach or you preach, but we preach.
And until we meet again, guys, keep preaching. Thank you.